Anna too. Welcome everybody. I'm Mark David, founder of the Institute for the Psychology of Eating. We are back in the Art and Science of Food and Body Coaching Online Summit. And I have the very, very great pleasure of interviewing an old friend and colleague today, Donna Gates. Welcome, Donna.
Well, thank you very, very much for asking me to talk about this topic. No one ever has asked me to talk about this before, so I'm excited.
Yay. Well, let me just brag about you just for a moment. You know, Donna Gates for 30 plus years has truly been one of the more or most respected authorities in the field of digestive health, diet, and nutrition. She's a best-selling author. Her first book, which kind of blew the lid off of, you know, diet, digestive health, and overall body health, was called The Body Ecology Diet. Really, you know, truly changed the field of nutrition. And, you know, Donna's groundbreaking work has been instrumental in actually transforming the natural foods industry itself. You know, to me, Donna, you've just been a front runner. You're always ahead of the curve. And it's why I like to talk with you, because I'm going to learn what's happening that we might not all know yet, not to put any pressure on you, but I just really appreciate you, you know, being such a thought leader for a long time
and
doing it in a real gracious way. How did you get into this line of work?
Well, I think like a lot of people, I just simply was not healthy. Something was wrong with me. And I started off just trying to find out how to get well. But I like to teach, I can really do, you know, so now I'm 72 and I look back and I finally have a much better sense of myself, who I am. And I just, you know, I'm one of those people, I don't want to do what everybody else says. I appreciate what you said about me being a front runner, forerunner, whatever, because I definitely like to look ahead. I think that's really important. Some people have to be looking ahead so we know which direction to go, what we need next. So, you know, I just think I have that quality, that desire. And so as I started finding answers for myself, I just naturally attracted people who needed help, and I loved to help people. So it just sort of evolved. I certainly didn't start off with any type of special intention to end up with body ecology and doing what I'm doing, but I'm really grateful that, you know, I think a lot of people feel this way, is that, so I was sick. I took antibiotics when I was young for my skin and birth control pills and all those things. Lots of women did that. And then I got a systemic yeast infection, which, you know, until I met Dr. Crook, I didn't even know what that was. And I don't know, then, you know, if you have the heart to really want to help people and you sort of, I guess you could say, ask the universe for help, I really believe we get that help. And I was able to, because of certain, the questions I was asking and the answers that were coming, I was really able to find answers for people. And I don't feel like I can claim any credit, really. There's so much divine intervention around mm-hmm. everything that happened, especially in the beginning, putting it all together. So, and here we are, 30 years later.
Right. And you've been, you know, amongst other things, to a great degree, you've been sort of tracking, for lack of a better term, digestive health and what is contributing to that, what's kind of pulling away from it. Are there any sort of general statements you can make in terms of when you really first started doing this and looking at it and seeing things and, you know, where have we gotten? Have we improved? You know, collectively in terms of digestive health? I know we have more knowledge and information, but where's it at and where do you see it going?
Well, I think that looking back, there was a day when, you know, I would tell people, I would go to a health food store and six people would show up and I'd share with them about this world inside of our gut. And you know, it's kind of amazing how I stumbled on that fact. There were microbiologists out in the world reporting on these bacteria, but nobody put it together that we have a whole entire ecosystem inside of us and on us. So that's where the word body ecology came from. And I coined the term inner ecosystem. And actually, you know, people thought it was interesting. If they were into health, they thought it was interesting. But then, you know, then I had to explain how it gets there. I mean, I just had to figure it out that, you know, it starts at birth and we build this world inside of us, but we have to eat fermented foods to maintain it throughout our life. For example, to answer your question, you know, I had to teach people what were fermented foods and how to make them. Today, you can walk in a health food store and there's 6 or 8 companies that sell them. The coconut kefir that I created, which is fermenting coconut water, which is a really important thing that happened just before I started working with children with autism, helped them tremendously. Children started getting well for the first time ever. You know, now you can go into the store, GT Kombucha sells a cocoa kefir, which was started by a man and a woman, friends, dear friends, that who's had 2 twin girls and one of them had autism, and they started giving, you know, 2 of the coconut kefir and she got well. So, and then her sister, you know, the girls are about 14 years old now. And they're just amazing. But Michael started fermenting the coconut water and giving it to other families. And the next thing you know, he had it in stores. Then it spread all over. Then GT bought them out and it's everywhere. And, you know, like a lot of change has occurred. Inner Eco is another company that makes the fermented coconut water and sells it as a probiotic. So every time I look, people are talking about this world in our gut, and we've come a very, very long way. It's now on all scientists around the world are considering the microbiome, because you can't talk about anything diet related or gene related without saying what effect does it have on this world inside of us, inner ecosystem. So yeah, it's a very, and you know, people are in a very different place because, you know, I would say things to people and for most of the people would go right through them, they weren't interested. But some were, and they were helped a lot and would share the information. But today, many people are interested, and of course, people are sicker and they are more desperate for help as well. Mm-hmm. It's a very different world today.
Yeah, it seems to me that despite our advancement in knowledge, digestive challenges, I've noticed they're just as prevalent today as they were, you know, 30-ish years ago, more, when I first really started diving into this work. So if you were gonna be speaking to somebody about their digestive health and you just sort of wanna get a sense of where they're at, what are some of the favorite questions you might ask someone just to begin to, for you to understand them better?
Well, today, a lot of people have SIBO or SIBO or SIFO. So they have a bacterial infection or yeast infection in the small intestine. It's so common that one of the first things I start looking for is, you know, do you have, if you eat fermented foods, you have gas and bloating right away. I like to find out, I feel like a lot of people need digestive enzymes. So I'd like to know when they eat a meal, are they just digesting their protein, or 30 minutes later, do they feel like their stomach's still full? You know, so what type of health do they need there? And of course, elimination is so important. So of course I'm asking, you know, do they eliminate, do they go to the bathroom every day? Are they constipated? How long have they been constipated? You know, there's a microbe, not a bacteria, but a microbe called archaea in the gut of many people. Eventually, as we get older, more and more and more, maybe 80-90% of us end up with archaea in the gut. And archaea is a microbe that takes the hydrogen that bacteria naturally make, and they turn it into methane gas, and then that causes constipation. So because you've got this gas in there, it may not even be coming out, but it's in there and it's keeping us sort of paralyzing the digestive tract. So I look for that possibility. You know, I always, of course, want to know a person's age. I like to know their blood type. I know that, you know, well, first of all, 40 something years ago, I was actually a patient of Peter Diadamo's father, James Diadamo. And so for that many years, I've been asking people, what's your blood type? Because I'm an A, and Louise Gittleman and I were the only ones that seemed to care about it. And then Peter wrote his book and it became a big, you know, everybody was talking about it and then it kind of died down. A lot of people thought it was ridiculous, but I can tell you from 40 years of telling, like for example, when I started working with children with autism, I always asked their mothers, what's your blood type? What's your son's blood type? 80% of them are blood type A. So I talked to my friend and colleague, Jeff Bradstreet, who's alive at that time, and he checked his files and found out that they were blood type A and started telling other people. So, you know, I just have a lot of little things I'm looking for. If someone's an A or an O, if let's say it's someone with it's an O, I know a lot about them already. If they are an A, I already know a lot of the best proteins for them to eat, how well they digest protein, how the fact from early in life, they are going to be very low in stomach acid and they have trouble digesting proteins and fats because they lack an enzyme in the small intestine called alkaline phosphatase. And they're more, A's are more high strung, they have more anxiety. As a matter of fact, I like to look at people's genes today, which is a tool, a new tool that I didn't have before. And I've got a little, you know, little research project of my own going where every single person I ask, I'm still asking their blood type. And now I'm looking to see if more A's have certain genes that are stress related. So, you know, I don't know. I do so much intuitively. Like one of the things I notice about myself is that when it's time to sit down and do a consultation with somebody, I'm not even me anymore. I'm them. You know, I don't even, the whole rest of the world just disappears and I'm totally them. And I've even had other people point out to me that, you know, I'm just not there anymore. And because I'm feeling them, I'm sensing them. I feel like we all have this a very innate ability to connect with each other. You can develop that if you want to. And your intuition, you know, regardless of what they're telling me, I'm listening between the lines of what they're not telling me. And I can say something that they didn't, I can pull out something or ask a question. So it's just us. You know, that's the other thing too, is like, I feel like once you're in that relationship with somebody, you're a partner. Like I'm not the know-it-all that they might have come to me thinking that I have answers, and I do have many answers. I'm very confident about being able to help them, but it's us working together. So I need to know, you know, them and feel them and sense them. And I need to, you know, it's a partnership, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So,
well, which is very different than your doctor. Like people go to their doctor and the doctor is sitting there and he gets all your information that he feels like he needs to know. And then he writes you a prescription and or sends you over to somebody else. You know, to me, all functional medicine practitioners have a whole different relationship with the person they're helping. Mm-hmm.
So lots of great points to pull out of what you've been sharing. I'm interested if you can say more about, you know, working on the gene level and what's even possible in this conversation.
Okay, well, this is again where I like to be, you know, helping people move into the future, because the future's here now, actually. This field of nutritional genomics has actually been growing and developing for 30 years. And now it's reached the point where there's a lot of, you know, people that are trained and practitioners and companies offering gene testing like 23andMe, but there's others. They give you reports back. I have looked at almost all of them, and I've taken many, many hours of training and sat in these trainings with medical professionals and doctors, and all. I can see that everybody's kind of confused, like, okay, this is a lot of information. What am I going to do with it? Well, body ecology is based on 7 universal principles, and I always use them. One of them is the principle of step by step. So sitting there, I started thinking, there's got to be a way to teach this complicated topic of nutritional genomics to doctors and practitioners so that they can turn around and really help people, because it's an amazing field, like it's an amazing tool. You know, I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people are, they do what the current fad is. Like, you know, people were all into raw and they ate a lot of, you know, sugar really, and dates and honey and nuts and seeds, high oxalate nuts and seeds. And then people swung the other way and went paleo. And now, you know, that's better because it's low carb, but A's need to have complex carbs in their diet. Some people don't sleep anymore. And so my point is that now everybody's keto. So the genes tell you exactly what you should be doing, that and the condition that you're dealing with at the moment are going to give you the right answer for you. So this is personalized medicine now. and it is the future, and it will is where we will be for the rest of our lives. Because, you know, we're looking at our genes, the 20 something, there's 23andMe is based on 23,000 genes, but there's probably not quite that many, but there's a lot of genes. And then all the microbes in us and on us, they have their own genes, every single one of the trillions of them. And so they, we have to consider that, you know, what are they doing with their genes inside of us? So obviously it's a field that's not going to ever go away. For the rest of our lives, we're going to be fascinated and utilizing this tool. So I've been training myself for 4 or 5 years now, I don't know. And I've got this program, I put together what I thought would be a really great way to learn it and teach it to other practitioners so they can turn around and teach it to others. But I use basically the principle of step-by-step. And I think this is a really good principle to utilize as a coach, because step-by-step is the principle of time in the universe. So the universe is advancing right this very minute in tiny, tiny, tiny little increments. So I'm on the East Coast, it's 6 o'clock, soon it'll be dark in a couple more hours. And then it'll get, little by little, it'll become light again. So another day and another year will pass. That's how the universe advances. So I thought, okay, how can I take this principle, this universal law, and apply it to healing? So I use it all the time. It's about also, where do we start? So, you know, and also, so I have in asking that question, I came up with some really useful ideas. When you start on, let's say you want to have a healthy baby, you want to age well, you want to get well, get over something, you have to start somewhere. And so what I like to do is I like to look and see energy. What type of energy does that person have? Is that a big sinkhole for them? Because if they don't have any energy, they are not going to get well. So there are genes you can look at to tell if the person came in and getting enough fats into their body, carnitine, in other words, so they utilize their fat for energy, mitochondria genes and so on. Do they sleep well? There's a whole bunch of genes for sleep. What about stress? Are they wasting their energy because they're a very high anxiety person? You know, so I like to know all that. And then I can help them and I can say, well, you are someone who has a lot of anxiety, a lot of, you know, one little stressful thing and your dopamine and adrenaline goes off the chart and you can't come down and relax again easily. So you're spending a lot of energy that way. It's probably hard for you to sleep at night. Your glutamate to GABA is a variance there. And so you're really smart, but you can't calm down enough to go to sleep at night. When I know that, I can really, really help somebody. So I like create energy, looking at the energy. The other thing is, so conquering infections and inflammation in the body, I look at those genes. How strong is their immune system? Were they born with a weak innate immune system? Do they have a lot of inflammation so that if they do get something, candida or Lyme disease or something like that, and we resolve that problem, is this ongoing, chronic inflammation that is unresolved for a long period of time, forever, really. So that now the person has all kinds of things wrong with them, but now the problem is really the unresolved inflammation. So then we work on that. There's always a solution. And so then another thing is conquering infections and inflammations, and then, of course, fixing the gut. There's a gene called MUC1 and MUC2. If you don't, this is how much mucus that you are able to produce on your gut lining so that the bacteria can actually nestle in there. Another gene, FUT2, if you have a bunch of those variants, so there are a bunch of them, but they can all have variants. Then if you have that, then this to me is a very important gene because, at least to me, the way I see the world, but this gene means that you don't, okay, so each one of us with our blood type, like I'm an A, so I produce a certain type of sugar. And are you an A too, Mark?
I'm an O.
You're an O, okay. So you produce a different sugar, like you secrete that sugar, that O sugar, into your sweat, into your tears, your saliva into your gut lining. And so, and I have a sugar, my, and so those of us that are A's, we have a different sugar, but same thing. So if you don't have, if you're a poor secretor of that sugar, that variance in the FUG, you're not feeding the bacteria that live in those places in your eye, in your mouth. So you're going to have gum disease in your gut. So you're never going to get, have enough healthy bacteria. And this is a really important thing to know, because at the beginning of our life, when we're setting our inner ecosystem into place and come into the world, if we're not secreting these sugar, we're not feeding that bacteria. If our mother is a non-secretor and she doesn't have it in her, she's got the genes and she's not secreting sugars into the baby's gut through her breast milk, then this inner ecosystem isn't set up. So I know that person has a gut problem from the very beginning of their life. And that's something important to work on, particularly because they need bifidus. That's a person who really needs bifidus. And I've told people, you know, just open a bunch of bifidus capsules, like we have bifidus, and put them in your drinking water and sip on it all day long. And people will tell me, you know, for the first time ever, I'm going to the bathroom on a regular basis. So anyway, the other bucket category that I like to look at, of course, is detoxification. And, oh, and then the other one is diet. So there's a lot of genes that tell us, you know, people say, well, be careful with salt. Well, we should be careful with salt if we're eating out in restaurants and processed food in the store and all, because that's bad salt. Nobody does well in that. But a good certain percent of us have these genes that make that do make us salt sensitive. What that means is that we can still have up to a teaspoon of salt a day, but it's got to be a really good salt, like Selena Nashley has, you know, the Mackay salt, the she's got a great kosher salt now, you know, her cult is sea salt. So I'll send people there and I'll say, look, that Mackay salt is higher in potassium, lower in sodium. This is a great salt for you to use at home. It's delicious too, by the way. But, you know, it's just there's so much priceless information hidden in our DNA that I'm really excited about being able to teach this to practitioners. I'm putting this program together to teach it, to teach body ecology and what I know to practitioners so they can turn around and help people.
So it sounds like for a practitioner to embark on that particular educational journey, the end result is working with clients, I would be having them tested. So we're having some gene tests and we're figuring out from those tests what's going on. Is that correct? Or are we just looking straight up at blood type and working?
No, the genes, they need to have a gene test so they can... So 23andMe, lots of people have already done that. And then they get this report back that tells them that they're, you know, part this and part that. But that's nice, interesting cocktail conversation. But the really good information is in all that gobbledygook stuff that you have no access to. That's why you need to have it put into a program that, like in my case, populates it into certain categories so that the practitioner can look and say, ooh, this person's Achilles heel really is a serious inability to detoxify. Or, you know, they, like for example, with all the people doing, you know, the high fat ketogenic diet, it could be a big problem because, well, like, let's say they have the APOE4 gene, just even one copy of that, they shouldn't have been eating all the saturated fat. They're going to be very sorry down the road. They will much more likely be expressing that genes and causing Alzheimer's and causing the cardiovascular disease that that gene puts you at risk for. So it's very preventive. You know, it's nothing to be afraid of. I think people, you should take your child's saliva swab, or if they're a little older, you can get them spit, play a game with them, get them spit a little bit into a tube and send their genes in. Because, you know, if you knew things about your children when they're little, you'll steer them away from bad things and steer them toward good things. And there's a lot of good stuff in your genes too. If you have the FOXO3 gene, the chance of living over 100 is very, very strong for you. So that's a good thought to carry through your life. I actually have that gene, so it's a nice thought.
Congratulations. It's kind of like winning the genetic lottery, huh?
Yeah, but I have a lot of bad ones too. I have a lot of bad ones, but you know, here's an interesting thing. When I had my genes tested, I found out that I have terrible genes for diabetes and insulin resistance. Nobody in my family has had those problems before. But, and I thought, I don't eat sugar. Why would I get skin tags? Because, and that's a sign of being insulin resistant. where would they come from? And then I sat for a while and thought, and I realized, oh, so the other thing that makes my glucose go up, raises, you know, makes me insulin resistant is stress. So then, of course, I looked at my stress genes and big issues there too. And what do? I also have high glutamate, have trouble converting glutamate into GABA. So actually, of all the things that I am most focused on for myself personally is handling stress. You know, like not, because my nature is to overfill my plate and cause a lot of stress in my life. And so, you know, at least I know that, and I know how important sleep is, make sure I do sleep, and I take CBD like a lot of people. Couple of days, little chewies. I take a couple of CBD gummies a day, and you know, it's just, I don't feel, they just probably calm me down more than I realize, but I don't know. I just think when you know yourself, you just can make real wise decisions. Very fine tuned. And then that's true for when you're helping people. You can hang up that phone, and they people are so grateful because you've really given them some priceless information that they can take with them for the rest of their life. I'm grateful that they even called me and asked me, because it just feels really good to help people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the great parts about the job. It really amazes me, you know, talking about stress, and it's one of those factors that it almost doesn't matter what our gene pool is telling us. Chances are, if we have a lot of stress, or if we're just doing a lot of self-created stress, I find that that's at least something we have a say in, you know, because stress is going to affect everything. It's going to affect our digestion. It's going to impact inflammation. It's going to, it's literally, it touches probably every process in the body.
Mm-hmm. We don't sleep very well.
All of it.
Yeah, everything, yeah. Yeah, and you know what's interesting? Again, this is something you can tell from the genes, is that a whole bunch of us have genes that make us full of anxiety and feel stressed very easily, like COMT, it's called. That gene I find very commonly in people, that they have one variant or two variants of that gene. And I thought about it, and of course we would have that gene, because so many of us would, because it's a survival gene. Many of the genes that we have today are survival genes. So if your ancestor 1,000 years ago had the gene and they heard something rustling in the bushes, they'd be very alert, and they'd stay very alert. Their dopamine, adrenaline, everything, noradrenaline would go up, and they'd stay very alert. So if 15, 20 minutes later, the thing jumped out and killed them, then they're gone and they're not going to have any future descendants. Well, the other person that doesn't have that gene might say, oh, you know, I thought I heard something, but probably okay. Then they get eaten up. So of course, a lot of us have ancestors who have that gene, and we have it too. But what happened is we've come into a day and age where stress is everywhere, from the EMFs to the food we're eating is stressful to the body. And so now these genes are being expressed constantly. And then constant stress becomes depression. I was just hearing some statistic last night about young women who have every right to be very excited about the life ahead of them. They're so depressed, you know, and suicide rate and everything. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't have answers for all of that, but I can help an individual person. In this case, I can't help individuals anymore. So that's why I want this training program to happen, so I can train practitioners to help many, many other people. Because we have to help people survive through this time. I know that the diet that I recommend with the fermented foods is very much a survival diet. I used to say years ago, we are boarding Noah's Ark again, not like water, you know, ark with water, but in a way it's the same concept. And you know, certain people are going to survive this crazy time, and so, with so many toxins and everything, and some people aren't. And you know, and so that when you eat a clean diet, when you get detoxified, especially when you eat the fermented foods, they help you detoxify. You know, let's say that you eat a meal and you put a couple scoops of fermented vegetables on your plate, those microbiota, trillions of bacteria with a diversity like you won't believe, are now traveling through your digestive tract. They're pulling out the nutrients that you need to make you strong. They're identifying the poisons, the parasites, dangerous things that are in that food, that chemicals and pesticides, they're getting rid of them for you. So I know that your immune system is stronger, and that's what we need right now. You know, so I feel, you know, I need to teach too.
It's a lot of work to do.
Well, not really. I'm used to doing it. I mean, it's second nature, you know, so.
Yeah. But I say that.
More people.
And I say that. Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, we need support really badly. Like, after you give people some information that's useful and they hang up and they think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this? I really, really think that people need support more than anything. And that's the hardest thing to deliver. So that's why I'm thinking, well, there's just one in me, but if I trained 100 practitioners or 1,000 practitioners, or JJ told me the other day, her goal is to train, is to reach out, help 1 billion people by training, I don't know, 100,000 practitioners or people, you know, to, that's the way to think, you know, think big like that. Because, like, for example, when I, you know, found, I discovered this white powder called stevia, roboticide in China, and I brought it out in the world, and I created this product that's now all over the world. Well, I've indirectly helped probably billions of people because it's being used all over the world now. So we can do that just by starting small and just doing what's in front of you. And, you know, it just, the universe wants that right now. The, I think that there's just this group of souls trying to help us get, make it through this time, survive. And, you know, there's a lot of support from that world, I believe, too, if you call upon it.
Yeah. Well, Donna, I really appreciate your big heart and your big spirit and really just embracing all of it. It's so true. You know, it's yes, it's taking care of our body, and it's also us being connected to something greater. Because on a certain level, no matter what we eat and what diet we have, we're all, we'll tend to end up in the same place anyway. You know, definitely quality of life is important along the way. But it's really such a big picture. It's a true holistic picture for each one of us. I can talk to you for hours, but I would love to, you know, hear from you how people can get in touch with you and what they should know about your offerings and just how we plug in.
Well, I the best way to stay connected to me is through bodyecology.com. I think that it's really important right now that every single person do their piece to pull this, to make this, to save us, basically. And so the summit, you know, you're doing this, Mark. I've known and respected you for years. I think you're the most interesting. One of the things I love about you is that I think more women are empathetic and intuitive and are more likely to become coaches. But you will find men along the way that have this really great balance of male and female in them. And you have that. And I've always loved that about you. And I'm very glad you're doing this because I know you're going to reach a lot of people.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah. So bodyecology.com, that's how we find you. That's how we stay up on what you're offering. Great website, great products, by the way. Donna, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mark.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And there's lots more to come in the conference, my friends. Y'all take care.